You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Heather is a nurse practitioner from UnitedHealthcare.
We meet patients wherever they live.
During a house call, she found Jack had an issue.
Jack's blood pressure was dangerously high.
It was 217 over 110.
So they got Jack to the hospital and got him the help he needed.
He had had a stent placed in his heart, preventing a massive heart attack.
And if it wasn't for my guardian angel, I wouldn't be here.
Hear more stories like Jack's at UnitedHealthcare.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan. Area limitation and exclusions apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Good morning, folks. On October 17th, 2025, we are going to jump right into this. We have the mayor-elect joining us, Helena Moreno. She is also presently on the New Orleans City Council as the vice president of the council. Helena, welcome to the show.
Hey, Noel. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm going to start off this way, very light. Have you taken a breath yet? Have you been able to breathe?
Not really. I mean, it's you know, it's election night happened, and then, you know, the next morning kind of went on a little bit of a kind of thank you tour throughout the morning, early afternoon, and then by late afternoon, I already started with transition meetings. Like, I really don't have a day to waste due to the fact that, as you know, we have a budget issue, not to mention I've got to get my team in place, and so we need to get rolling, you know?
Yeah, and then you got the holiday season in the middle, so that takes some days, you know, out of it. So as you look at pulling together your transition team, I would just like to, if I could, remind the public, it's really neat to have regular folks volunteer, right, to participate, mm-hmm. to work mm-hmm. on that transition team. Tell us what you have experienced thus far in assembling this group of folks.
Sure. So the transition team, Newell, is, as you know, will be the team that will be helping me ensure that I am able to begin implementing my plan for the city on day one, that I'm ready to go. And so they'll help me on a variety of different topics, everything from city services to the budget to economic development. But they will also be the ones helping me to find the very best and brightest to be part of my city hall. And so the four chairs I selected, you know, for the team as a whole, are four people who are very well known in the city of New Orleans due to the community impact that they've had in the city. And the four chairs I chose were former Congressman Cedric Richmond. He has a vast amount of knowledge in government work. Also, he led for President Biden, really kind of the opportunity work and connections with economic development. Obviously, he was part of President Biden's transition team for United States president, so you would think that he would be able to handle one for mayor of New Orleans. And then right. I also chose Desiree Charbonnet, who is a former judge, someone who I worked very closely when I was in the legislature on different criminal justice issues to kind of help around the public safety and crime prevention arena. Ryan Berger is also one of the chairs. He is someone who obviously is a major business owner here in the city of New Orleans, deals with our city's biggest industry, the tourism industry, also someone who is very much involved in youth services and NORD opportunities, and he's worked toward that very much so. And then the fourth person I chose is Emily Arata, who's part of the executive team at Ochsner right now, but prior to that, she was deputy mayor under Mitch Landrieu, and Emily came in at a time when former Mayor Landrieu had to deal with a major deficit, and she really had to lead and work on kind of a reorganization of government and what that looked like and creating efficiencies to getting the budget right size. So I thought that this was the right team to kind of lead the overall transition process. But over the next few days, I'll be announcing different committees to deal with the major topics that would impact our city and just making sure that the people's priorities are the priorities that will be met when I take office on day one.
You were criticized for calling in the legislative auditor to help through this budget process in order to be able to determine what the actual deficit was. In hindsight, it seems to have played out in a very positive way for you because the administration has been struggling. And finally, I guess, what was it, yesterday or maybe the day before, lost days this week, legislative auditor, Michael Wagesback, was able to determine and give y'all a definitive number about where you stand. So in my view, I always thought it was a great recommendation on your part, and I think it's paid off.
Look, Newell, I've always said this. I don't care who I have to call in to help the city of New Orleans do a better job. And I certainly saw, along with the city council saw, that this administration could not figure out what exactly was our current deficit. I mean, you had one office within the administration saying it was maybe $70 million. You had another office within the same administration saying it was maybe $100 million. And so we weren't sure exactly what the real problem was. And so that's when I took the step to bring in the state legislative auditor. And I'm very glad that I did, because he came in and actually realized that the problem is much worse than either one of these city offices had thought. It's actually about $160 million current year deficit, which means that will take overall our surplus funds to a very low amount, where once I take out the rainy day fund, because there's restrictions on the rainy day fund, which is about $37 million, that only leaves me about an additional $8 million pad. And so it's definitely a dire situation. And, it's something that I will have to tackle. And people are like, oh my gosh, how's she going to get this done and still provide, decent services for the people of the city? Well, I'm just going to have to find a way. Like, that's why I got elected, and that's what I've always done, is that I'm not going to be by any means intimidated by the challenge. I'm just going to go straight toward into it and figure out the solution. I'll bring in the right people to help me figure out this path. Now, what I am fortunate about is that I was able to win in the primary, which does give me this extra month, which does give me the opportunity to really start working with council members now on what major steps we need to take within government to find the right level of efficiencies to right-size government. So I can start working on that now and not have to wait until I get in office in January and then take, 3 to 6 months trying to get the budget, in a better place. I can start that process now. And so that's what we'll be working through. And I'm really grateful for our council chair, Joe DeRusso, who's very just intricately involved in the budget and already finding some workable items that we can pursue. But we don't have an option. We have to figure out a path. And government does have to be right-sized. And I do actually see a lot of bloat. One of the things that I will be doing, which is a standard practice that mayors do, Landrieu did it, Cantrell did it, Morial did it. The only mayor who didn't do it was Nagin, and it turned out to be a disaster because he didn't, is I will be asking all of the non-civil service employees to reapply for their jobs. And I do see actually a lot of bloat in some higher up non-civil service appointments by the mayor, that these may be some positions that my administration may not necessarily need. And so those are some of the things that I'm looking at right now. Look, it's not going to be easy. It's likely going to be painful, but it has to get done. And at the same time, I have to figure out how I ensure to reallocate the dollars necessary for our departments that deal with our important basic services, like public works, like sanitation, like code enforcement, safety and permits. And so it'll, like I said, it'll be a challenge, but we're going to meet it.
Hindsight's 2020, right? And information is power. As you look back, do you have more of this sense of frustration that you were not given the appropriate nor adequate information to actually make a lot of the decisions that were made? I mean, you know, when I look at the report that was issued by the legislative auditor, and I've been looking at the budgets of the city for several years now, it seems to me that we didn't really have much of a sense of financial guardrails in place. And it also seems to me it was because there was a lack of information.
Look, what we have now seen through the legislative auditor report is that it was just a free-for-all for money. It's like when you have a teenager and they're like, I want these new shoes and I want this new dress and I want this new thing and I want, and it's like, and you never tell the kid no. It's like, that's what it was like. It was like everybody got a yes on all the money that they wanted to spend. And it was really mismanaged. What's really frustrating is that it wasn't until, from what we're hearing from city departments, is that it wasn't until about a month ago, Joe Threat came in and really sounded the alarm on overtime. Like, hey, guys, we can't just have a free-for-all in overtime. Like, we really need to put in some guardrails around overtime. Because, look, don't get me wrong, it certainly was public safety agencies that had the bulk of the overtime, Newell, but there are also a lot of city departments that really had major overtime costs as well. And so now, you know, that there are some restrictions on overtime, but that alarm should have sounded long, long ago. And so that's the frustrating piece, that it was just like, you know, you get some money and you get some money and you get some money, and all of a sudden, now we're broke.
You know, the irony is it's somewhat easy to handle that. I mean, a lot of the events that are the cause of overtime, you know, well in advance, they're annual events. And, you know, what we did at Jefferson Parish Sheriff's Office is we would modify people's work schedules so that they would work on that day and they would be off on a different day during the week in order to minimize the amount of overtime that we were experiencing. And we identified every opportunity where we could do that, where it wasn't critical that that person actually worked on the Tuesday as opposed to the Saturday. And, mm-hmm. you know, as long as you give people a lot of lead time on it, nobody really likes that, but they understand it because it's all about the pie, right? There's only so much money in the pie. You have a desire to make sure that the folks are appropriately paid. But if you're just, as you pointed out, throwing dollars out of the window at the new toys and this, that, and everything else, the pie shrinks and there's no capacity to give a pay raise or improve benefits or things of that nature. Sometimes folks have to be reminded of that each and every day.
And look, you know, I mean, for the city employees who worked overtime, you know, it's like if there's an opportunity to work overtime, then of course they're going to take it, and I don't blame them for that. You know, it's up to the manager to say, hey, actually, you know, we don't necessarily need you. It's time for you to go home. I remember when I was a news reporter, and this is before I got up to the anchor desk, but I, at the time, you know, as a young reporter, I was an employee that received overtime. And look, I was so, I needed a little extra cash all the time. So you better believe it that I was like volunteering myself all the time. I'm like, I will stay an extra hour. And they're like, Helena, go home, you know? So, so really it's up to the manager to ensure that obviously, the work is being done and being met, but at the same time that it isn't like a free for all as well for overtime that may not necessarily be needed. The other piece too that I wanted to do an analysis on is, Newell, as you know, there was a hiring freeze that was put in place about a year ago or so now, almost a year ago. And the fact that we haven't been able, And the hiring freeze doesn't apply to public safety. But the fact that we had a hiring freeze, did this then lead to the additional overtime being necessary? Therefore, not being able to hire people actually cost us more through overtime dollars because we had this hiring freeze. So that's another analysis that I'm looking at as well.
Yeah. Obviously, it's time is critical, right? And as you pointed out, this extra month that you have is really a godsend because it gives you an opportunity to look at this, because it's going to be hard, I would suspect, to really hit the pavement running on January 12th, which I think is that the day of the inauguration?
That's the date.
My memory,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, if my memory serves me correct. If you don't have, you know, the financial components at least identified and know where you stand and work all of this out, I mean, figuring out the deficit's great, but there's a lot of other things about this budget, I think, that needs to be quantified and looked at and figured out beforehand, because then you got to work inside of that moving forward, right?
Yes, absolutely. And in fact, my transition team will officially be entering City Hall today, this afternoon. I actually want to thank CAO Threat for being so helpful. He is providing space within his office for my transition team to be able to report to daily, to be able to, you know, ask whatever questions, receive whatever documents, and receive them that day. So we'll be going in this afternoon kind of for the initial briefings, meeting with Joe Threat and his team and some key members of my transition team. And then obviously that daily work will begin on Monday. But I will say this, you know, the mayor made Joe Threat the point person for my team, and he's been a tremendous help. I mean, just really, you know, I appreciate that. He met with me on Wednesday and was just very frank about the situation, provided his full team and staff at the CAO's office to assist in any way. And so I very much appreciate CAO Threat for having that level of collaboration with me and with my transition team, and also understands the level of urgency in which I always work in and the short timeline that I'm in as well.
And I know you like to do this, and I do as well, to give credit where credit's due. Folks ask me, well, what do you think the mayor is going to do relative to the transition? I said, my sense is she's going to cooperate, you know, in the end, and by the appointment of Joe Threat, that a lot of people know and trust and have worked with over the years. He was obviously the most appropriate person to do that. Your thoughts?
Oh, absolutely. I contacted the mayor on Monday morning, you know, just reaching out saying, you know, Madam Mayor, you know, who can my transition team and myself work with, you know, moving forward? And she immediately responded back, you know, your point person is going to be Joe Threat. And we also will have a series of transition documents to present to you this week. So obviously that'll be happening today. And so that's happening. So that is a positive. And I think that's what the people of the city want to see, you know, kind of a.
And that's great news, quite frankly.
Yes.
It's great news,
exactly.
Right?
I mean, yeah.
Absolutely. Because, I mean, it's more about the entity, right, the city, than any of us individually, because none of us individually are the center of the universe.
Yes, 100%, 100%. And the other good thing, too, about Joe Threat is that he and I have always had a great working relationship. So we already know kind of how to work together. He already knows me pretty well and knows that I'm, you know, one of those people that it's like, I'm sorry to be requesting so much, but I need it like right now, you know? And so he knows that about me. And so I think it's going to be two really good teams working together to figure out some solutions. And the other plus too, as you know, is that Joe Threat is really the one, you know, leading on the budget too. So, he can help me and the city council kind of reshape this budget to make sure that we're meeting the priorities that we want.
Yeah, no doubt. Final thoughts?
No, I mean, Newell, I'll just tell you this, and I don't think I told you yet, but it was listening to you and Dave Cohen and John Cuvion, you all were the first to call it that I had won on Saturday. And we were in the car on the way to my election night party, and we were like, all like, oh my gosh, WWL just called it. Y'all were the first to call it. So that's a moment that I will never, ever forget. And then just the other thing, too, that I wanted to mention to you before I get off is that I really look forward, as mayor, to having, you know, monthly dialogue on your show, Newell, just a set time so that you can always be getting updates from me personally, the mayor's office, or for some reason I can't do it, you know, bring in someone from, you know, my administration to talk about a specific issue, something like that. But just so that you constantly have that communication with the mayor's office, because I know that's been a little bit lacking.
We certainly appreciate that you have agreed to do it. I think there's a lot of value with that. Folks love hearing from their mayor. They truly do. I think they feel better about the city, and I think it creates a lot of momentum because there's a lot of good things to talk about, right?
Sure. I mean, and the thing is, it's like not just that, but it's really about also. When I take office, I will need to ensure that I'm managing expectations too, because of course, you know, a new mayor comes in, they want everything done like immediately, you know, all these things, you know, but it's like, I have to ensure that I'm also managing expectations. And I can do that by constantly communicating about what I'm focusing on right now. And what I have to focus on within my first 100 days, it's very clear, is making sure that our dollars are going towards people's top priorities, and that's getting our city services right. And that has to be done, you know, within my first 100 days. That has to be my main focus. And I need to be on your show talking about the work that I'm doing there. And that's going to be, so that communication is going to be an important piece.
Well, best of luck to you through this transition period. It looks like a lot of the pieces and the parts are coming together in a very quick fashion, which is encouraging. As well. And I think you get, I just feel this sense of urgency in you that you recognize you don't have a day to lose, you know, in all of this as you approach January 12th.
Yeah, you're right. I don't have a day to lose. That's why I started working Sunday afternoon, the less than 24 hours after I won. But thank you, Newell, again for having me.
Thank you for joining us, and have a great weekend. We will be right back, folks. 504-260-1870. We'll visit with the president of the council, New Orleans City Council member, reelected as well, J.P. Morrell. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Ah, DSW, Earth Place of the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by J.P. Morrell, city councilman at large and the president of the council. J.P., welcome to the show.
Thanks, Noel. Thanks for having me.
So, J.P., we just had the opportunity to talk to the mayor-elect, Helena Moreno. Things are moving fast. She's got a lot accomplished, quite frankly, in this first week. Your thoughts?
She was elected with a mandate. She has spent 8 years learning the different mechanisms of the city government, and she has a plan and she's trying to execute it. It is interesting to watch her work as her colleague on the council, especially considering navigating the hope and optimism of her next year of the next term in the wake of this $160 million deficit that we are currently struggling with.
So y'all just had, what, 2 or 3 days of budget committee hearings. Your thoughts about what was revealed?
What's been revealed is really the administration did not have a handle on how big the deficit was. What was evident from both talking to people like the fire department was that even when you had departments that were asking for guidance from the administration as far back as February as to what to do with overtime, basically the administration's position was they didn't have one. So the overtime deficit grew because there was no effort to rein it in. And until Joe Threat came in September, that is when he turned off the spigot. And so it's just frustrating because these departments were all looking from leadership from the mayor, who is the executive, as to what they should be doing to change their behavior. And more time was spent over the last couple of months trying to conceal from the council how bad the overtime deficit was and how to try during this election season to blame the council for things the administration was doing rather than working with us to solve the problem. Because as I'm sure you see in your conversations with Councilman DeRusso, we've been trying to get a plan out of them or work together on a plan. And we've just been told over and over again, nothing to see here. To the point now that this is a very difficult situation that is going to require decisive leadership by the council to definitively resolve this. And the solution is not robbing people for revenue at the last minute to try and put numbers on paper where the revenue we would create by raising these taxes and fees, Newell, you wouldn't see till next year anyway.
JP, do you think there was a sense, especially as it relates to the Super Bowl and other events, where we had this, we enjoyed the SEER 1 rating, right, special event assessment rating, that there was going to be a lot of federal dollars that were going to be coming in? And I always remind folks, don't bet on the come. That it's going to happen. You have to manage the known. And if you don't manage the known, you're going to find yourself behind the proverbial eight ball, which it seems as though, listening to some of the testimony from some of the folks, that's exactly what happened.
Well, I mean, two things. One, I think the legislative auditor was on point in that the way the administration shares numbers, they share numbers and they mix into their projections expected revenue. And really something that has to change, and I'm working with Councilmember Harris, we're probably going to do this via ordinance, is that when we get the balance sheet at budget, we need to not mix in projected revenue and just say, what is the in and the out? How much money are we spending and how much money is in the bank? Because what administrations have done, not just this one, is they kind of mix in there, this is where we're at with projected revenue that we haven't received yet. And the challenge there is that if we have the numbers in real time, we should be balancing our checkbook with what's in the bank, not with what might come into the bank. Now, as far as Taylor Swift and the like, there was a fundamental misunderstanding by the administration as to how revenue breaks down the city of New Orleans in taxes and hotel motel tax. The reality is that though the city enjoys theoretically on paper 4.5% of sales tax revenue, as you know, when you start subtracting the school board, the RTA, the downtown development district and the like, the city's really getting like 2% or 2.5 cents of that, of those pennies from sales tax. When you look at the hotel motel tax, the lion's share does not go to the city. It goes to the state. It's support organizations that deal with tourism. The reality is that there are a lot of these events, Newell, where we might break even. The whole controversy, I don't know if you found over this NBA Youngboy stuff next week, is that that's a potential engagement where they're bringing in kind of a volatile, infamous entertainer who there's credible law enforcement intelligence that a lot of violence kind of surrounds his concerts, where NOPD is projecting they're going to have to do a 450-person overtime rollout of the entire department Sunday and Monday. And when you look at the projected revenue from that concert, I mean, Newell, the hotel rooms are empty. The restaurants are not projected to make money. That is purely the city spending money we don't have for a concert that will likely generate no meaningful revenue to the state of Louisiana or to the city of New Orleans. And the question that I really posed in a video I did yesterday is, why are we chasing these concerts where the city and state don't make money off them?
Yeah, I mean, that's always going to be a challenge, right? I mean, and I think there were, what, two, maybe three cities that actually canceled that concert in their cities.
Chicago and Detroit canceled their concerts. Atlanta, where he performed last night, already canceled his second night, which was Saturday. So there's been some chatter about people saying that speaking out against this is racist. Chicago, Detroit, Democrat, black majority cities. Atlanta, Democrat, black majority city that gave him one night, then shut down the other night. Facts are facts when it comes to stuff like this. And when you are putting people at risk, and on top of that, you have to take taxpayer dollars to supplement security across the city for an event. If that event can't even generate enough revenue to break even for the city or the state, why in the hell are we doing it?
Yeah, I mean, a promoter obviously should bear the cost. It's
absolutely
the promoter's show, right? I mean, to me, that's kind of a no-brainer. Why even develop intelligence information about any of this? And it's a pattern that has repeated itself across the country. So these are not one-offs, right? I mean, and that's the big challenge when you have very controversial groups. I think what happens here, you have rival gangs, right, that are what's going on at this concert.
The intelligence they got at the Chicago concert, which is why they canceled it, is that he had beef with some other guy named Little Dirk, and that there was going to be gun violence at the concert or around the concert. And Chicago said, nope, not even going to risk it. So it's like, and in our case, the performing artist is from Baton Rouge. Logistically speaking, Newell, it's sort of like when LSU gets in the Sugar Bowl. It's great LSU's in the Sugar Bowl, but we generate less money because everyone drives in and drives out.
Right.
It's kind of the same thing, but worse.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, and this is the challenge, right? When you find yourself in a deficit posture, you have to pay very close attention to more granular details than you ever had before. Because cutback management is the most difficult type of management there is. Things that you would have been willing to accept in the past, you don't have the luxury of accepting those things and participating in certain things in the future. That's just the reality. Because math has no emotion, and it is what it is. Right?
No, you're 100% correct. And like, for example, with the projected deficit over our fund balance, if things do not change with the administration, we will have $43 million in fund balance, of which I believe 37 is hard restricted, which means the new mayor is going to come in with a $6 million cushion. That being said, the security of 450 officers on 12-hour shifts for 2 days could easily be close to $1 million. That's real numbers. That means the incoming mayor will go from a $6 million cushion, which you know is nothing, to a $5 million cushion. And so the whole point that I was trying to make, and I think that kind of was missed but kind of got across, is at the very least, if you're going to put the city in this position, the promoters should be paying for security, because it's a real issue considering these performances across the country. And there's a reason why other cities are canceling performances like this.
Yeah, I mean, there's only so much of a risk tolerance that you want to accept, right? And look, part of the challenge, I think, for arenas across the country, and you know this, and I know you recognize it, is you want to try and bring talent in for all groups of folks, right? For the multiple genres of music, and have a very diverse offering. But sometimes, and especially when we find ourselves in the position that we're in today, you're going to have to be more selective because we just don't have the luxury of that. And this is one of the things that falls by the wayside. You know, we always talk about the city punching above its weight. We have so much more to offer in a city this size, but we're feeling it, right? I mean, we're feeling the difficulty of keeping that going, and that a hiccup here or a hiccup there is more meaningful to us because our economy's not as diverse as other economic centers, where, you know, they can just ride out the episode of the hiccups, and it's not a big deal. I don't know that we have that luxury.
No, you're correct. And also, the other thing is, we're a city right now that has become kind of a national target for our crime, real or no. We also run the risk with events like this, if there is a negative outcome, it will not be treated in the national media with any nuance. They will not go and say, this was a one-off because of a concert and because of a thing that happened. If there is a bad instance, if there is a mass shooting on Bourbon Street or the like, it'll just be, this is yet another reason why New Orleans is a criminal hellhole and why the National Guard is needed there yesterday. You know what I mean? Like, this is, the promoter's not going to go out of national television and go, my bad.
Yeah. So before I let you go, because we talk about this all the time, let's talk trash. Trash talk.
Yeah.
Now, JP, now what?
I mean, the thing is, certainly, it is beyond bizarre that an RFP went out without a low bid requirement to displace Ivy Waste, who has repeatedly said they would honor their low bid, which was the cheapest bid, and will likely still be the bid, in an effort to try and reopen this contract so that the mayor's per vendor can get another shot. On top of that, we're looking at, in the significant shortfall we're facing as a city, how do we balance making sure that we're able to provide resources with the limited monies we have? It just seems really bizarre that the mayor has created this new distraction with trying to re-RFP this contract potentially at a higher cost in this moment.
Yeah, I mean, what do you say? Like, read the room. I mean, we don't have the capacity.
I don't think this mayor cares about reading the room at all, Newell. I think she's about to leave the room, so she doesn't care.
Yeah, I mean, it's just very disappointing, you know, I mean, because this is about the livelihood of hundreds of thousands of citizens that live in the city of New Orleans. It's really not about her, and it's really not about Troy Henry, and it's not about the council, and it's not about Sidney Torres.
No, it's about doing what's best for the city, and anything that is going to add additional cost and doing an RFP where a low bid is not the requirement, it really begs the question of what is the ultimate purpose of doing that if we're not trying to get the cheapest cost right now when we have no money.
It's amazing that we've injected all of these anomalies with this trash contract, right? I mean, we've had so many things of first instance, right? You know, we'll just minimize the bond requirement. We'll pay you in advance of doing the service, and now we're not having a low bid requirement. I will say this about the mayor. She's been very creative in trying to direct a contract to her friend.
It is truly kind of breathtaking watching this unfold, just because there is absolutely no interest whatsoever in this instance trying to create an environment where the city actually gets a benefit other than the selected person that she prefers getting the contract.
Yeah. Disappointing. You know, on the one hand, it's great that she's cooperating with the transition and that's going well, and Joe Threat is the front person, but it whatever positives we feel about that go away when we have this on the heels of it, right? Advance of it. Either way, all the positive tends to get tarnished and diminished.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, JP, thank you so much for joining us on this Friday morning. We truly appreciate it, and have a great weekend, my friend.
You too. Thanks, Noel.
Thank you, sir. That's JP Morrell, the president of the New Orleans City Council. We will be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. Mm. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Folks, when we come back after the top of the hour news break, we're going to visit with the insurance commissioner of the state of Louisiana, Tim Temple. And in the 12 o'clock hour, Chris Blair, the voice of the LSU Fighting Tigers, as they take on the Vanderbilt Commodores. Mike Haas joins us at 12:30, voice of the New Orleans Saints. They take on the Bears. And we'll visit with Trip Rabelais, director of Lafreniere Park, this Saturday, the Trunk or Treat.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They gon' find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
United Healthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in. Here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at United Healthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.